As we continue to look at the practices of the early church, Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, we continue, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. One more verse. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. What we want to look at today is, as we continue last week, we started on the topic there in verse 42 of prayer. In the early church, they continued in this time. They continued steadfast in, number one, the apostles' doctrine. Secondly, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread. And thirdly, prayer. This thing called prayer. And 2 weeks ago, we saw the video transformation. We saw how prayer transformed cities. God transformed them, but God used the vehicle of prayer. And I'll say it again. I've said it before, and I'll repeat it and repeat it. I know that if we will be a people of prayer, God will transform our city. Not just our city, our nation. Not just our nation, our world. This is the heart of God. This isn't something that we have to twist God's arm to do. But this is God's heart. His plan for the world is redemption, salvation, which brings transformation. We saw last week, as we just kind of laid the foundation of prayer, we talked about praying without ceasing, continuing to pray, being those that continue steadfast in prayer, that they're able to just pray, to just talk to the Lord. We talked about prayer. It's nothing to fear. It's no huge lofty thing that we need to work up to attain to, but we have it. And we have, in fact, access to God's presence. Free access. We have been invited in. We have an invitation to come and to sit with God, to talk with Him. Whether that would be in our room privately or whether that would be as we walk through our day. And we talked about last week, walking through our day, that beautiful access. And the key is by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. My access to God isn't based upon my holiness. It's not based upon what I've done for God or what I haven't done for God. It's based solely upon the blood of Christ, the finished work of the cross. And that gives me confidence. We saw the word enter in boldly. The word boldly speaks of confidence. I have a confidence, not in myself, but a confidence in God. And even more than a confidence in God, but a confidence in the work that God did, the cross, in the blood of Christ. My confidence is in the blood of Christ. That Christ, because He died and shed His blood and rose again, has forgiven me all of my sins. There in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 18, it says, verse 17, 18, it says that He remembers our sins no more. They've been done away with, that we have eternal redemption through Him, that we are sanctified by Him because of the one-time act that He did when He died for us on the cross. And this brings about for us an incredible confidence, an incredible boldness as we approach the throne of grace. And this is the beautiful thing about walking with the Lord. It's simple. He loves me and died for me, and I can walk with Him. And we talked about whether I'm fallen into sin and I need now to come to God and to repent and to confess that sin and then to repent and turn from that sin. I have the same confidence as when I'm walking in the Spirit, because my confidence isn't based upon my performance. It's based really upon what Christ did, His performance. And we need to understand that. That is the foundation to prayer, having that access, having that boldness. And I encourage you to continue to go over the verses we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 there, in Ephesians chapter 3, I think it was verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 10, really the entire book of Hebrews, and talked about what is it that separates us? Not our sin, like in the Old Testament, because that's been dealt with, but it's unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 declares that it's our sin that causes us to depart. And we saw that word depart is to stand off from God. It causes us to draw back from the Lord. It's unbelief. It's an evil heart of unbelief. And so we talked about just common fellowship with God. This morning what we want to look at is we want to look at not so much common fellowship with God, but those special times of prayer. What Jesus was talking about, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, there on the Sermon on the Mount, I'll read it to you, Matthew 6:6, Jesus says this. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door. What I want to talk about today is the private prayer life, your private prayer life. As we go to the Lord, there's that time in our life that we should have where it's set apart. Again, we talked about that common fellowship. I mean, I'm driving down the freeway and I can just talk to the Lord. I'm walking down the street. I'm wherever I am. I can always be dependent on God and being aware of God and being in fellowship with God. But now we go just a little bit deeper. And we need to recognize that there's still, even if you're doing that and you're walking and you're praying without ceasing and you're worshiping the Lord and you're just walking in the Spirit, that we need to realize that there also needs to be in our life a time of prayer, a time where we get alone with the Lord. Jesus said, when you go, like you're going to. He talks about it almost like it's a given. Now, again, Jesus here is talking to Jews, and they understand that they had a time of prayer. Jesus is rebuking them for their public prayers so that men would look at them, but he says, when you pray, you go into your room, you shut the door, and you pray to the Father who's in secret. This is whom too you're to pray to, the Father who's in secret. You know, and it is interesting that the Jews even here in Acts chapter 2, it says, you know, as it says that they continued steadfast here in prayer, we understand that these are Jews, that the Jerusalem church here is all Jewish. Church is just beginning here. It's very Jewish. And you know, the Jews had of custom, they had a time of prayer. That's where I read verse 1 of chapter 3, which says, there in Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer." We find that Peter and John are following a Jewish tradition. There was three times a day that the Jews typically would pray. They would pray at 9 in the morning, the third hour of the day. They would pray at noon, which is the sixth hour of the day. And they would pray at 3 in the afternoon, which is the ninth hour of the day. There were sacrifices at least in the morning and in the afternoon, the morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices. And these are times they would go to the temple together and they would pray. The Jews were used to praying to God, spending time in prayer with God. Now again, in a little different context. But it is interesting that you find in the early church the practice here that they follow is they continue to do that. Now, it has been noted, and it is interesting, that they come at the hour of prayer, which is a half hour after the hour of sacrifice. It's not the time of sacrifice. They understand, as Christians, they understand, as we saw in the book of Hebrews, which was written to Jews, Jewish Christians, that they understand that the work's done. There's no longer a need for the animal sacrifices. But even though there's not a need for animal sacrifices, there's still a need for prayer. Prayer hasn't ceased. In fact, prayer has only opened up in a greater way. We have a greater access and a greater ability to pray. And this is something that this is quite intriguing to me, that the early church seemingly would practice. I mean, here's the leaders of the early church. Peter and John are the leaders in the book of Acts of the early church. Besides James later on, there in Jerusalem, and Paul then later on. But right now, they are the men. They are the leaders, even amongst the apostles. They're the ones that are mentioned. It's only Peter and John. Of all of the apostles, besides James, there's a quick reference to the apostle James, one of the 12 in chapter 12. He dies. That's the only reference of him. After, you know, Pentecost in the book of Acts. There's a reference to James, the Lord's brother, we believe, a little later on in Acts, it's chapter 15. But mainly the two apostles that are mentioned in the first 13 chapters of Acts are Peter and John. And it's interesting, Peter really is the main figure. He's the one speaking. John is mentioned, but really we never hear John speak, but we'll hear Peter. So here's two of the main leaders going up to the temple for prayer. It was probably something that they continued to do according to their Jewish customs that they would do. Now, as you look into the Old Testament, you can see just a little light of this, the customs that they did. In Psalm 55, I'll read it to you. Psalm 55, verse 17 says this. In Psalm 55, 17, it says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice." Psalm 55, verse 17, "Evening and morning and noon, I will pray. I will cry aloud, and God will hear my voice." And it's really a beautiful psalm. It starts in verse 1 by saying, "Give ear to my prayer, O Lord, and do not hide yourself from my supplications. Attend to me and hear me." And he goes on to talk. But you can, the whole psalm's speaking of prayer. And he says, evening, morning, and noon, we pray. There was that idea there of that tradition they had. Three times a day, they would pray. Now, it's interesting. We know of Daniel in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, another reference to this, Daniel 6:10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room," it's interesting, there's where Daniel's praying, where Jesus said to pray in your room, "with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks to his God." Now watch this. "As was his custom since early days." Daniel prayed three times a day. This was his custom. He came and knelt before God and prayed and sought the Lord. And I think there is some important insight, even though these are Old Testament texts, and they're really part of the tradition of the Jews, and really something that is even recognized today in Jerusalem by strict Jews, there's that prayer three times a day. Now, what's interesting is the apostles do this. And I think that's something to kind of grab our attention and say, wait a second, is there something here in the new covenant for us? Now, I find this. I find that I know that I ought to pray. I know that I should pray. In fact, I desire to pray. And I say, I'm going to pray. But reality is, many times, I don't pray. Now, how is that? I know it's right. I agree with it. I want to do it. And many times I find that I make steps to do it. That's it. I'm going to go pray. And you ever find when you do finally get to the place of prayer that you find that you're distracted? There's more distractions in prayer than anywhere else. I mean, you know, you'll be praying and saying, okay, I'm going to just sit with the Lord right now. Great time. There's nothing going on. I'm going to pray. And you begin to pray and, oh, I forgot. You always remember which you can't remember any other time in prayer. Oh, I forgot. I forgot I was supposed to call this person. I forgot I was supposed to do this thing. Oh, it slipped my mind. Or, oh, I got an idea. I've got vision from the Lord. And you're gone. 3 minutes in prayer and you're out of there because you were distracted. Or it's interesting. Everything happens when you try to pray. The phone rings like it never has all day. The kids scream. The door's knocked at. You know, whatever it is. If you got a pager, it's going off. Cell phones are going off. You just find that it is one of the most difficult things to pray. Or the other way of distraction. Oh boy, that the spirit of tiredness just comes upon you. I mean, you're fine. If you went and sat down and watched TV, you wouldn't fall asleep. If you went outside and, you know, looked at the trees, you wouldn't fall asleep. If you could do anything in the world and you would not fall asleep. But you've decided to pray and you're just, and you know, your eyes are
You're just,
I just got to take a nap. And you know, and it's just, why is it that when we seek to seek the Lord, we find that we are distracted by everything? Well, we need to first recognize we're in a war, we're in a battle. Satan isn't going to, his host of demons aren't going to stand by and go, oh, that guy wants to pray. Leave him alone for now. Because you see, Satan realizes, I think, something that we don't. And he's right on this one and we're wrong. He realizes that prayer is one of the most effective things a Christian can do for the kingdom of God. He knows that. It has been proven to him time and time again. Even as we watched the video transformation, we saw that as people begin to intercede and come together and pray, that God began to break bondages, strongholds that Satan had on people, on communities, and begin to open up the really floodgates of heaven and bring about His glory, bring salvation, opening eyes. God began to do things, healings, and all kinds of different wonderful things God did. And God began to transform people's lives because Christians decided to take the call of prayer serious. You know, and it's so important for us to understand that we're not just going to go into prayer and everything's going to just be so easy. Why is it that a lot of Christians don't pray? Because the warfare is too intense. And they just give up before they really even get started. They just get tired or discouraged or distracted. I mean, maybe you're you know, been a Christian for 20, 30 years. You know, whatever it is, maybe 10 years, 5, maybe 2 days. Whatever it might be. And there you are. Let's take a guy that says he's been saved 20 years. And since the day he got saved, he knew prayer was important. And he has determined every single year, you know, every new year, like New Year's resolution, I'm going to be a man of prayer this year. And you know, here we come on a new year, some more, you know, Maybe let's just take last year. Maybe it was last year. Yeah, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a man of prayer. And you look back and you reflect on this year and you go, you know what? I am no different today than I was last year. I'm no different today than I was 20 years ago. But I've had the desire. I've made the commitments. But I just never seem to follow through. And nothing ever seems to change. And I'm afraid to say that many Christians have given up. They've grown weary in doing good and they've given up. They've lost heart. And they've just accepted that they're just not good at prayer. And what a deception that is. You know, I have heard the idea, I have thought it myself, of, well, I'm just not a prayer warrior. Now, where in the Bible did we get that certain people were prayer warriors and certain weren't? The Bible calls us commonly as Christians to pray. To intercede. I don't know that prayer is really a gift somebody has. It's just a calling somebody is entering into and taking part of and doing. Brothers and sisters, it is so vitally important for us to recognize that there is a battle that's really raging as we seek God and say, I'm going to pray. And really, I think there's some practical steps we can take at least to start, if you haven't already, and if you don't already, have a consistent prayer life, because that's what we're talking about. I'm not suggesting today that us as a congregation never pray. I understand that we pray. But what I'm suggesting is there's a great possibility, if I know myself and know us well enough, and I say this real lightly, real nice, when I say great possibility, when I really could say there's an absolute. But I'll say, there's a great possibility that we as Christians, as individuals, do not have a consistent prayer life. It's not something that we are very structured in or consistent in. Now, we might pray occasionally, when time allows, quickly, briefly. And again, obviously throughout the day, and I hope we're doing that, you know, praying without ceasing. But when we talk about just getting with the Lord, getting in solitude and seeking after the face of God and really praying, we probably would be safe to assume that not all of us really are faithful in that area, diligent. And I think it'd be safe to assume that all of us would like to be. would say, yeah, I want to. I want to pray. I want to seek God. I want to be faithful in that, but I just can't seem to do it. Again, we go back to the guy that's been saved 20 years. I've been saying that for the last 20 years, and it's just like I can't do it. I've tried. It doesn't work. I'm just not cut out for it. When forgetting that God has enabled you to it. He's given you access to Him. He's given you an invitation. Come in. You have an invitation. Come to me. Now, that invitation isn't given, and then the reality is, but you really can't get here, but I'm just going to tease you for a while and dangle the invitation of prayer before you, but you really can't get it. It's for somebody else that's more gifted than you or more, you know, whatever, more holy than you. Again, that's not it. Our access is by the blood of Jesus. And if you're saved, you have access. There's an invitation. And God says, be diligent to enter the rest. There needs to be a diligence on our part somewhere to enter the rest. Hebrews 4 declares that. Now, the rest there is definitely including free, unlimited prayer. Being able to see God. Sins have been dealt with, been done away with. We have access into God and fellowship with Him, and we can ask of Him. We can make intercession for somebody else. We can make petition. We can come to Him with our request. And we can cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. We have access to God. And in having access to God, we can seek Him and we can know Him. And we can have a consistent prayer life. And brothers and sisters, I plead with us to understand this. To understand that God has called us to have a consistent prayer life. I think the early church had some practical steps they took. That they got from the Jews, they got from Judaism, that they brought into their relationship in the new covenant, and that is having a time each day in prayer. Now, it is interesting, as you look into Paul's epistles, and you examine the epistles, you'll always find that Paul, whoever he's writing to, usually says, and I'm praying for you. And in every prayer of ours, we make requests for you. And you think, this guy's got a long prayer list. I mean, you read one epistle, great. Okay, he's praying for the Romans. But then you get, you know, to Philippians and Colossians and, you know, 1 Thessalonians and Philemon and, you know, 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy. You just think, wait, this guy's praying for a lot more people than I am. How in the world can this guy honestly with integrity say to him, and we're praying in every prayer, every remembrance of you, we're always making intercession for you. You think, man, this guy has got to have quite a prayer life. Well, how did he get to that point? Well, I believe it was from what he knew in his past, in Judaism. See, Paul was a strict Pharisee. As a strict Pharisee, he would keep the customs to every detail. And he knew what it was, and he was disciplined in prayer. He prayed morning, noon, and evening. You can believe that. I mean, that was what Paul did, and probably more than that. But it's interesting. Now, as he comes from Judaism, from being a Pharisee, he's converted, his eyes been opened, he now understands and has an incredible access to God and to God's presence, and he can come to God and seek the Lord now freely with nothing hindering, no religions, but all stripped away. Do you think that he then would pray less than he once did before he had that access? I don't think so. I don't think so at all, brothers and sisters. In fact, it's interesting, in the book of Romans, which is the next book here from Acts, Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, one of those references is made, and it's an interesting phrase that he uses. In Romans 1, verse 9, it says this, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always," now here's a phrase, "in my prayers." And some scholars have said here that this is probably making reference to that time of prayer he had. And in fact, they translate it this way, at the time of prayer. The word "in my prayers," they translate it, "that I make mention of you at the time of prayer." It's at that time, which would mean that he had a time set apart. The same phrase is found in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, it's a pattern throughout his epistles. Chapter 1, there, verse 2, it says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers," or at the time of our prayers. And in Philemon Verse 4, it says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Paul says, in my prayers, at this time that was set apart for prayer. It's interesting, in the book of Acts, in chapter 16, there in Acts 16, in verse 16, Paul is in Philippi, and he's witness to the women there at the riverside as they prayed, and now recording of the events that went on there. It says, now it happened as we went to pray. As we went, that phrase catches me. Now, as we went to pray, you mean you made an effort to go and pray. Paul had a time, he says, as we went to pray, you have to set apart time is what I'm trying to say if you're going to have a consistent prayer life. If I say this, and I've said it hundreds of times, if I say, well, I'm going to pray just as I'm led by the Spirit. And that's great. If you're really filled with the Spirit, I mean, and you're really in tune, you're focused on the Lord, and that's working for you, great. You're absolutely free in Christ to do that. But I know this practically. I say, okay, as I'm led by the Spirit, I'm going to pray. Well, I'll find myself in my car praying always. But when it gets down to really praying, I find that I'm just too busy. And it's almost like we say, when I get time, when there's a time opened in my day, I'll pray. Well, that's saying, when I have nothing else to do, then I'll do the most important thing. Now, isn't there something backwards with that? You know, when I'm bored, I'll pray. Or when I find time, I'll pray. You don't find time to pray. You make time to pray. I don't find time to go home and spend with my family. I make it. If I found it, I'd never find any. You know, you make time. You know, you don't find time to go on vacation. You'll never find time, will you? You make it, and especially in our society. We've got to make time. We've got to set apart time. Now, isn't it an honorable thing and a right thing to say, you know what, I'm not legalistically, but just practically, I'm going to set apart time in my day, make a commitment to seek the Lord, because if I don't, I won't. If I don't make the time, I won't pray. I won't really be able to be a man, to be a woman of prayer, to be a person that could say, you know, we walk up to each other and we say, you know, I'm praying for you. Are you really? Are you really praying for that person? You know, it's almost become a phrase that we use just like, how are you? When we really don't care how somebody is, it's just how we say hi. Now, as Christians, praying for your brother, if you say that, and praise God, I hope you are doing that. Truly, that we are. When's the last time you've prayed for that person that you say, I'm praying for you, brother? It's so important for us to be a people that understand this and that are praying and that are seeking the Lord and that we can honestly, and we should be able to say, I'm praying for you. I should be able to say, you know, I've been praying for you. You know, and not boasting, I'm praying for you, but know this, somebody cares about you, somebody's praying for you. And we should be praying, you know, for one another. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. We are to pray for one another. Paul says at the end of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 there, I believe it's verse 24 or 25, he says, pray for us. That's the verse. I love it. I think it's verse 25. Pray for us. I love that. I want to just put that verse everywhere. Pray for us. I want to put that verse on my forehead. Pray for me. You know, pray for us. Amen. You know, but we're never going to be able to, like Paul says, hey, every time I pray, I think of you. And every time I remember, I pray for you. Can we say to those that, you know, come from, you know, Montana and say, you know, when they come into town, say, you know what, praying for you. In all our prayers, we're praying for you. If you wrote them a letter, could you say what Paul said? You know, those in Africa, if we wrote them a letter, could we say, praying for you. In all our prayers, it's a consistent thing in our life. It's not, prayed for you once. We're praying for you. We're keeping you in prayer. We're holding you up. You know, for those that are feeling called to Mexico or to England or to Romania, you say, you know what, we're praying for you. We really are. We're really praying for this situation. We can honestly say, you know, we've been praying for the church. Not I prayed for the church once, but we're praying. And that's what Paul could say, and I think that's dynamic. And I think it has a lot to do with the power and the effectiveness he had in ministry. I mean, here's a guy that I should say, what is it, Paul, that you do always? Because you do a lot, and you affect a lot, and you have won the world in your day, pretty much. You have radically seen God transform communities. And that's what we're going to see in the pages of Acts here as we continue to study. You know, what's the key? And I believe he'd say the key is, hey, you need to first start in prayer. You need to become a man, a woman of prayer, of getting alone and saying, I'm setting this time apart for prayer. You know, if we didn't have any of these examples, there's still the greatest example ever, and that is Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about Jesus. Did Jesus need to pray? Now, I don't fully understand the whole, you know, reconciling of the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. I understand them. They're both there, and I'm blessed by both of them and see both of their purposes. But as I look at Jesus, I say, here is God in the flesh. And he said it's of necessity, not for me only. He did say that. But he said by his actions, it's of necessity that I pray. And you could read through the Gospels. You could take a Strong's out and look up through the Gospels. Look up the word prayer and find all the places that Jesus prayed. And you will be amazed of the prayer life of Jesus Christ. Not just of when he prayed, but how he taught on prayer. He taught on prayer a lot. He talked about prayer. He said it is an important issue. And if there's anybody I want to listen to, it's Jesus Christ on the issue. And if there's anybody that I want to be my example, it's Jesus Christ. Now, if God, when he became a man and walked on this earth, said it's important for me as a man, as a human, to be in constant fellowship with God and to isolate myself for time of prayer, then I think it's important for me. I mean, being 100% man, nothing to do with God, and the only thing that's godly about me is God in me and God's grace that causes any of that to happen. If Jesus needed it, I need it, you know, tenfold. And you think about this. Let's just take a look at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, since Luke writes Acts and Luke. I think it's fitting. In chapter 5, I want to pick it up. I just want to read to you a couple of verses about Jesus and what it says about his prayer. Because I think they're intriguing, and I think that they will stir some conviction and really some example for us. Luke chapter 5, it says in verse 16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Note this, Jesus himself often did what? Number one, I want you to know, he withdrew. He pulled away from busyness. We're going to see this as a pattern. He pulled away from the crowds. He withdrew into the wilderness for one purpose, and that was to pray. To pray. In chapter 6 of the book of Luke, in verse 12, it says this, and it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I love that. Again, notice what he's doing. He's withdrawing himself. He went where? He went out to the mountain. By himself, he's there. It says he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, it's interesting. There are going to come times in our life that not only that we should have really, I believe, a time set apart for prayer and giving ourselves to prayer in, you know, a consistent day-by-day time. But there's going to come times in our life where there's going to be issues that we're wrestling over, things we're struggling through. And normally what we do is we talk about them, we search the scriptures over them, which are good. But the most important thing that we should be doing, typically we don't do, and that is wrestle with God in prayer over them. Seek the Lord. God, humble me. Humble your heart. Search me. God, maybe I'm wrong in what I believe. Lord, if I'm right, can reaffirm that to me. Confirm that in me. Lord, show me it through your word. Open your word to me. And sit there and seek the Lord. understand that Jesus here had a special occasion at hand. The following day, you can read the context to all of these verses, and I encourage you to do that. Here in Luke 6, the following day, Jesus was to choose the 12 apostles. Jesus was to make a choice, to choose the 12. And in that choosing of the 12, he recognized he needed to hear from God, from that human point of view. He needed to hear from the Father. He needed to know exactly what to do. He spends all, if Jesus, in making decisions, needs to spend all night in prayer with God over those decisions, how much more do I need to spend all week in prayer with God over decisions? And it's so important. And brothers and sisters, I encourage us. We all have issues, whether they would be dealing with things of ministry and callings, or whether they'd be dealing with financial decisions in the family or in the business, or whatever it be, or switching jobs, or whatever it is. We need to be men and women that seek the Lord and hear from the Lord. And there are going to come occasions in your life where it's a time to go late into the night, to go through the night in prayer over an issue. You know, many times people wrestle with God or wrestle with their thoughts or these issues laying on their bed. And they're there and they're trying to sleep and they wake up and they can't sleep. And we many times get anxious and worry and I can't sleep. And, you know, and we're just getting worked up and we get bitter and upset and we start thinking and Satan's there just shooting his little arrows and saying, yeah, what about that? What about that? What do you think of this? And, you know, and we're not sleeping anyways. Instead of doing that, we ought to get with the Lord and seek Him. You know, if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're wrestling over something, what's God telling you to do? Pray. Go sit down in the living room or wherever and get with me. But I got to go to work tomorrow and I got to get sleep. There's going to come times that God's going to say, you're going to lose some sleep. You're going to be a little bit tired tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to do this every night unless you got major issues always, you know, in your life. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But, you know, I'm not saying God's going to have you do this every single solitary night, but there are those occasions, as we see here in the life of Jesus. Paul talked about sleepless nights. I wonder if many of those sleepless nights were over issues. And in the same context there in 2 Corinthians 11, he talked about his deep concern for all the churches, wrestling over issues, deep concerns he had as he's praying and wrestling through things. Brothers and sisters, we need to even have that mindset and that understanding of where things are solved, where we're going to hear from the Lord is in prayer. And we need to come to the Lord, and we need to sit with the Lord, and we need to seek the Lord. And so what I'm trying to establish here is that there is times, definitely, I think that we should set a time in our day, every day, set apart for prayer. The word sanctify means to set apart. Sanctify a time for prayer. Set it apart. This time is going to be a time where I'm going to seek the Lord. Maybe you already have that, but I ask you this question. Because that's what we would call devotions, right? We set a time, part time, to pray and to read the Word. And I ask you the honest question, do you pray in that time? Are you distracted? Maybe even the Word of God is distracting you, reading and studying it. And obviously, you know that I think you should do that. I don't think you should neglect study, you know, to just pray always and never, ever study. But I also don't think we should neglect prayer to study always. There's got to be a balance. And there should be time of prayer because, you know, I find that study without prayer usually doesn't do the same to me as study with prayer because it's a whole different world. One's brain work a lot of times for me, just studying and, you know, looking, examining, you know, and trying to interpret a passage. And without prayer, it's, yeah, that's neat. And I get stirred up and I love it and I'm excited and the Lord's speaking, I'm learning, I'm growing. But man, when I add some real deep prayer into it, well, it changes the whole thing. God's able to open the Word to me. God's able to convict me about the issues. How many times have maybe you studied something and come to an understanding of something, but you've never done it? You've never even really sensed an urgency to do it. It's in prayer where God will really speak things to my heart, and God will really say, yeah, Trent, and what are you going to do with that? That's a great word to preach to the church, but let's talk about you. It's in prayer where the Lord nails me on those things. And you know, I just so encourage us to see the importance of setting apart time to seek the Lord. Now, you go on in chapter 9 here of Luke, and there's two more references. It says in verse 18, Luke 9, 18, it says, "And it happened as he was alone praying." Note the word, "as he was alone praying." And it goes on to say that his disciples were journeying and came with him, and he asked him a question. But Jesus was alone. Again, notice Jesus being alone. And then in verse 28, it says this, another story, another day. It says, "And it came to pass about 8 days later, after these sayings, that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mount to pray." Notice he's getting alone again. He's taking, "Let's go away. Let's go away and pray. Let's go and get with, you know, the Lord." And this is the Mount of Transfigurations, where he's transfigured and God really speaks and reveals himself and shows up. And, you know, it's amazing. It's prayer. These guys are coming away. They're praying. They're seeking God. Jesus Christ is our pattern. We are to follow in his footsteps. He is our model. And if he needed to pray and to get away, how much more than I do? Now, I do want to clarify what I'm saying. I'm not saying that unless you have a structured, you know, time, the same time every day, and you're praying in that time, you know, that you're not really, you really don't have a prayer life. All I am saying is that that is a very practical way to really be one that prays. If you're praying every day at different times, great. Are you praying? And are you really giving yourself to prayer? We're not talking about giving 5 minutes to prayer. We're talking about something being a priority in our life, something that we're going to really give ourselves to. You know, I have found in my walk, as I've walked with the Lord, you know, for many years now, and I've been seeking the Lord, and I've gone through different seasons and, you know, said, okay, I don't want to be legalistic. You know, we get times I've been real legalistic and, okay, structured, and then times I feel bondage for that. So then I go the other way. And I have found, and I've come to the place today of realizing that, you know what, unless I set apart time to pray, I just don't pray. Sure, I pray occasionally every now and then, but I cannot say that I can pray effectively as God has called me to pray unless I set that time apart. Now, maybe that time for you is the evening. I know some people that pray, you know, they pray in the evening. The problem I find, and maybe you find the same thing in praying, you know, like say before you go to bed. You know, you're giving God the end of your day, the end of your energy, the end of everything you have. You know, and I think we should pray at the end of the day, but I don't think that should be our prayer time. Now, if you've got passion and energy and life and you've got, you know, more than "I'll pray when I lay in my bed," please. I mean, unless you're just Superman, you probably were falling asleep a lot. You know, "I'm going to, Lord, and I just bless you and thank you, and Lord, good night." You know, you're gone. You know, you're not interceding. You can't say, I've been just seeking God on my pillow. I'll tell you what I've been doing on my pillow. I've been sleeping. And you know, when my head hits that pillow, my wife always makes jokes to me. She says, "You can fall asleep faster than anybody in the world." I mean, you fall asleep, I'll say a few things to you, you'll answer me, and I'll say something else, and all of a sudden I hear you sleeping. You're gone. Yeah, I mean, I'm dust at the end of the day. I mean, my pillow's for one reason, in my mind, sleep. And that's what I do there. And you know, and I've tried it. I've tried to pray there. Now, I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. Maybe, you know, those of you that are married, praying with your spouse and, you know, going to sleep, that's great. But if that is it, that's my prayer life, I've got problems. You know, some people's prayer life, they say, "Yeah, I pray at, you know, in morning, in the noon, and in the evening. Every time I eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I pray." Now, that's not really morning, you know, noon and evening prayer that the Jews are talking about, okay? "Lord, we just pray you'd bless, you know, our family and our food, and just thank you so much." And, you know, again, I'm not saying don't pray at those times either. But I'm saying this is, we can't say this is my set apart time to seek the Lord and to pray. I really believe that we need a set apart time. I know for me, if I don't, I won't pray like I know I should. And it won't happen until I say, that's it, I'm making a commitment in my life. Now again, I'm not legalistic with it. If I, you know, sleep in one morning or go to sleep early, whenever my time of prayer is, you know, if I miss it somehow, it's not like I'm going to be condemned, because I understand the whole deal. I understand the new covenant. It's no condemnation. God's like, well, you didn't pray. Now I'm not going to listen to you tomorrow. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, and so there's no need to be condemned. I'm not praying so God will accept me. I'm praying because I need it. I'm praying because I need to pray, because I need life, I need direction. Because God has said to Trent, if you pray, I will hear and I will heed and I will answer. And there are things that I would love to see happen, and God has designed prayer. I haven't. God said this is how it works. You pray and I answer. Ask whatever you will, you know, in my name, and it will be done for you, Jesus said. Jesus said it. This is the method God has designed, and so this is the one we're to follow. But I know this, that God isn't missing out if I don't pray. I'm missing out. I'm missing out on seeing prayer answered. I'm missing out on seeing the blessings of God. And I think it's so vitally important for us to be those that understand that, that prayer is our priority. And if you're not praying, there's a reason. Because it's not a priority, obviously. If I'm not praying, it's not a priority. I can say it's a priority all day. Eating is a priority for me. How do I know that? If you ask me, what are your priorities in life? I probably wouldn't say eating. But how do I know there's a priority of eating? Because I always do it. And when I don't, I find out how to do it. I find somewhere there's food. Because without it, I die. But we need to understand that that's the way we need to approach prayer. That without it, I die spiritually. And it's like eating. And it's got to be a priority. And if it's a priority, you'll find me doing it. You'll find that we are people that pray because we recognize it's a priority and we make sure it happens and we do not let anything interfere with it. I can guarantee you this. I don't care how busy you are. You have eaten in the last week, unless you're fasting for some spiritual reasons. You've eaten today, probably. If you haven't, you're saying, hurry up because I want to. And you know, it's amazing that we would say prayer is a spiritual priority in my spiritual life. But in reality, it's not. In reality, we're not involved in it. In reality, we're not doing it consistently. Again, I'm not saying we never pray, but we're not doing it consistently. We're not faithful in prayer. We wouldn't consider ourselves men and women that pray consistently. But we would kind of, when prayer's talked about, say, yeah, I pray, but I need to pray more. You know, and brothers and sisters, I urge us to see the beauty of this. Now, I do believe the ultimate time in the day for prayer is in the morning hours. I do see that in the Word. Again, not a commandment, not that's the only time you can pray. Obviously, we saw they prayed morning, evening, and, you know, noon. But I do find practically, and you judge this on your own with your own schedule and personality and how you work. And I'll tell you what, I'm a night person. I'm not a morning person. And I fought this whole idea of morning prayer for years. I've tried it, you know, I'm just tired, I'm getting up. That's because I went to bed at 3, you know, or went to bed at 12 or 1 or whatever. You know, I'm just a night person. That's when I can really study and engage and, you know, the kids go to bed and I'm ready. Let's go. I got 3 hours. I'm going to stay up, you know, until 2 and go for it. You know, but I find that when I begin to pray at the end of the day, it's the end of the day. And if I'm going to try to pray for tomorrow here at the end of the day, I wake up and I'm tired. I don't know if you're like me, but I wake up, I'm in the flesh. That's just how I live. That's how I wake up. I wake up and I'm like, the alarm. The thing is like the demon. You know, it's just, you know, and it's like, that's not, it doesn't usually just go, walk in the spirit, you know. It's like, yeah, oh, no, not yet, no, 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 snooze, yes, snooze.
you ask my wife, that snooze, it just every 10 minutes it keeps going off. And, you know, a half hour later, oh, I got to get up. By that time, I've been just wrestling. It's not in prayer. It's with this body of mine. And it really, it's then when the best thing for me to do is to seek the Lord. Not to get up, oh, I got to get dressed, get ready, get something to eat, go to work. Or, if you're a stay-home mom, I got to get the kids and, we got, And it's just like you get up, your day starts, woo, and you're going. And your temptation and your tendencies, you're probably not going to be filled with the Spirit all day. Walking around loving God and, worshiping and, And I really believe that it will have a lot to do with how you pray consistently and continually, through your day. If you're to pray without ceasing in your day, I find that when I start in the morning with some time of solitude in prayer, that the rest of the day I find that I have an easier ability. I'm not saying that if you pray in the morning you won't have any problems through your day. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that it is easier to move on. And it's an important thing. There's an awesome psalm, Psalm 119. I love this psalm for devotion. Psalm 119, in verse 147. And let me read it. Psalm 119, 147. It says this: I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. I love that. I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help. There's prayer. You rise early, you cry out to God. Help me, God. I'm a sinner and I need your grace. And really, that should be our prayer. I cry for help and I hope in your word. And there's that idea of getting in the word and really hoping and heeding the word and mixed there with the crying out to God and that fellowship. It's in the early part of the morning that you find these things happening. In Psalm 63, it says this, verse 1, Psalm 63, it says, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. Some translations will translate early earnestly, but it means first. It means early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That whole idea of actually my soul is like my body thirsts for water, so my soul thirsts for you. Lord, my flesh, it longs for you. I want you. I long for you. It's early that we should be seeking the Lord. And really, brothers and sisters, it's so helpful to start your day. The first person you talk to should be the Lord. That's the way to start a day. The first person you deal with, the first thing you deal with is the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you seek Him and you know Him. And I find that when I do that, it does change the direction of my day. It really helps me to start the day on the right note, we might say. To start the day focused, in tune, with the right mindset, that eternal, outlook on things. So helpful. In fact, Jesus is an incredible model once again. Mark chapter 1, Jesus does it, and I'll close with this passage. In Mark chapter 1 here, in verse 35. Now, this has been one of my favorite passages in the book of Mark, and really in the life of Jesus. This just, maybe it's just me, but this just convicts me incredibly. Jesus, in the context, had been ministering. Jesus, in the context, had been ministering in the synagogue, and then he went to a home, and he'd been ministering, and he'd been healing people, and it says the entire city came out to that home. And which tells me something practically. Jesus had a late night. I mean, when Jesus comes into town and starts healing people, people probably aren't going to bed at the normal hour. I mean, there's some excitement in the air. There's some things happening. And it says in verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitude place, and there he prayed. Jesus said, the necessity right now isn't sleep. The necessity For Jesus is prayer. The necessity is to go and to get with the Lord. Notice he goes out. As we read the other ones, he went to the mountain. He withdrew to the wilderness, as he often did. He went to and I love it how it says, a solitude place. You need to find a place that's solitude. I find that when I try to pray at noon on maybe your lunch break, it's quite hard to find a solitude place. You know, when I want to pray in the evening, I mean, everything happens. The phone rings, somebody's at the door, whatever. You know, the kids will get up. There's something going on. I strongly encourage us to be those that know our city good enough to find somewhere that's a solitude place. And I'll tell you what, obviously we don't live, you know, in the woods. Just, you know, go take a hike. Well, where do you hike? Well, there are a couple places that I've found to hike, but still, you know, there's people everywhere. But when are places more solitude? Early in the morning. That's when. You know, when I get a thought in prayer when it's 5 a.m., oh, I need to call that person. Well, I don't call them at 5 a.m. It's too early. It's so good for me. Okay, you know what I do is I take a notepad or a sticky pad, you know, and when I'm praying, I'll just write down all the thoughts. Get rid of it, okay, call that person, boom, and then keep praying. Because, and I call them and I'm distracted and then I don't pray anymore. But I find early in the morning is when there's a time. And you know there's a beauty of the early morning. There's a freshness. God's creation is so beautiful. And I find that, you know, Jesus often withdrew. He went outside. You say, well, I have a hard time. I fall asleep. You won't fall asleep if you get up and you get on your walking shoes and go take a 20-minute walk. Just talk to the Lord. And then you can come back and maybe spend some time in intercession. You'll wake up. You'll wake up by walking. You'll wake up by the fresh, crisp air. There's nothing like hearing the birds chirping and the sun rising and just saying, Lord, here I am. I'm just here to talk with you. No other agenda. I'm here to just to sit with you. You know, and I love it because Jesus here really finds, I think, vision for his day in early morning prayer. You read on and it says, and Simon, verse 36, and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him, and they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next town, that we might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Interesting. Jesus says, let us go. Let us go into the next town. Let us go on from here. But Simon's saying, Lord, everyone's looking for you in this town, the town that the night before he did incredible miracles in. I mean, of course, everybody's looking for you, Lord, here and now. Lord, everybody's wanting you. And Jesus says, we need to go over there. Why do you think Jesus knew where to go? I truly believe, again, from that human practical level, because he received vision from the Lord in that morning. You know, you're going to find that in your day, if you seek the Lord early, you're going to find that you're going to have more understanding. Have you ever felt like you're just making it through the day? You don't know what you're doing. You're just trying to be in the Spirit, and you know you're in the flesh, and you're just frustrated, and you're just hoping for the next day. And you know, you're frustrated over what to do. I need to do this. You just don't have any direction. You're just wandering back and forth. You don't know really what you're doing. And you're just trying to make it. I truly believe if we'd be a people that would spend an hour or two with the Lord every morning in prayer and the Word, seeking God, that we're going to find it. And somebody's going to say, we got to go here. Lord, the people need you now. And Jesus just says, we're going over there. And that's hard to do. Just shut down Peter. What about the people? Jesus says, this is the will of God. This is the purpose I've came forth. I understand my calling. I understand what God would have me to do right now. And it's to go there. And it's early in the morning seeking the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Jesus wasn't praying, God forgive me of my sins. He didn't have any. What was Jesus was simply fellowshipping with God and asking the Father to do his work and to lead him and to accomplish his will through him. Brothers and sisters, I find a dynamic as you rise early, as you seek the Lord. But I do warn us not to become legalistic or even rigid in it. Like I read 10 chapters every morning. I read 3 chapters. And that's great, but be flexible as the Spirit leads. Maybe the Lord's going to say, you know what? Put your Bible down and sit with me. You know a lot of that stuff. That's good stuff. But you need to sit with me for a minute. You know what? There's some people I want you just to stand in the gap for this morning because they're going through it. You don't know what's happening. You know, God lays something on your heart. Well, I'll get to that after I'm done reading. You know, because I've got a schedule to keep. Again, we're not waiting on the Lord. We have scheduled God and put him in our box. Okay, 15 minutes of prayer, you know, a half hour in the Word, you know, whatever. But don't give God a schedule. Make sure that we're praying. You know, in prayer, there's like a wall you got to break through. And you know, you got to kind of pray a little bit and kind of get it. And then it kind of just, it starts kicking in and you can start really praying. You're breaking through that. The flesh and the walls and warfare and some of us never get past that wall. We just kind of, Lord, I just pray you bless this morning and today, and Lord bless those people, and you Lord bless the missionaries, and Lord, and there's really not prayer. It's just kind of rah 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 rah. Okay, I'll read a couple of chapters, and I'm tired, and Lord, this just doesn't work. I'm going back to bed. You know, you got to do something. That's going to stir you, and that you're going to see that you're going to continue steadfast in prayer. But you're not going to grow weary in doing good. Because in due season, you will reap if you don't lose heart. How come many of us start strong and never finish? Because we lose heart because we grew weary. And we never continued in something long enough to see the harvest, to see the fruit that it brings. We gave it a day, a two, a week, and we said, this doesn't work for me. And we went back to bed instead of pressing on and keep on going. You know, this year, New Year's coming up, and there's going to be all kinds of New Year resolutions. Get a jump start on it. Forget New Year's resolutions. Make a commitment right now to the Lord to say, you know what? I'm going to make some time every day. Probably it should be the same time just to keep yourself in it. If you can do it another way, great. But I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a woman of intercession, of prayer, of thanksgiving. I'm going to be someone who knows God and knows His presence. Brothers and sisters, we will never, ever see dynamic prayer meetings in the fellowship unless we've been those that pray dynamically in the private. Because if it's just coming together and praying, and that's it. That's my prayer. That's the time I pray in the week. You're not going to find a powerful core of prayer warriors. You're also going to find people start strong and don't finish. But when they are privately praying and consistent in it, you're going to find an ability to pray, a know-how of prayer. We truly will, all of us, be prayer warriors. But if we lose heart, and that's exactly what Satan wants to do, discourage your heart, so that you won't go on. And just think about it. Has he done that already in your life, in your Christian walk? Has he discouraged you? And you maybe there's times you can look back, man, I was praying a lot. But are you today? And maybe you say, no, because you lost heart. You grew weary in doing a good thing. And therefore, you have not seen the fruit of that which God has called you to. Start now. And make a commitment to continue to give yourself wholly to it.